campus. We're glad that all of you are here today, that we can come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That last stanza that we just sung. And then one day, I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. A few moments ago, we got a telephone call. Information concerning Kay Webster. They have now withdrawn all of the tubes and oxygen from her, I understand. And they're telling the family there's only a few hours for her to live. They need our prayers. Kay has been sick for a number of years. But she'd done a lot better. She was even trying to walk on her own, as you know. And yesterday morning, one of the first calls I made was to the hospital. I talked to Melvia, and she was telling me about her mother. And I said, I'm on my way up there. I'm coming up to see you. She said, good. Got up there, and I knew that Kay was very weak, but she knew me. We talked for a little while, and we had prayer together. But never did I realize that we'd have the news that we have today. Only God knows the time that you will die. Only God knows when we will meet the appointment of death. But from what they have been telling us today, it seems that she has very little time. As a matter of fact, they're saying just a few hours. They want us to pray for them. Will you bow your heads as we pray? Eternal God, our Father, we know that Thou livest forever, that in You there is life. You're in control of it all. You're our Father. You're our God. And we thank You. We can bow our hearts today together here at O'Neill and pray for our dear sister Kay Webster. We pray for her. Father, we're thankful she's a Christian. We're thankful that she's been an inspiration to so many in these days of suffering that she's had to go through. And she sat in the wheelchair. Then she tried to get up. And even had seen her walk some. And now, as we have this news from the hospital about our sister, we know, our Father, that You will do all things right for her as well as the family. That death is an appointment that we all must meet. But we pray that You'll be with them. Bless them all. Be with Kay, JT, and Melvie. And help us, our Father, to know that one day that will come with our names. Death is very near. Help us to live right so we may die right. Forgive us of our sins. Help us in this service and be with this dear family. In Jesus' name, amen. The value of good examples is found now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith. Belief in the Creator. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Faith. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. It means something to please God. God loves those that please Him. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When I look at the followers that God has given us in the Bible, followers of God, followers of Christ, it encourages me, and hope it will encourage you, to not only be a good example, but strive to follow after the examples that you see, that men have lived before God, and men live before God today, and they're moving their lives in the direction of, and with the help of, good examples. The Bible teaches us we're taught God's way by, first, the direct command in Matthew 28, 18, verse 18 through 20. Go ye therefore. Jesus said, go. That's a direct command. By approved apostolic example, Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, Acts 20 and verse 7. That's an approved example for us to follow. And it's necessary and implied that we do that every first day of every week, because there's a first day in every week. Who are you following? And who is following you? It takes faith. Now, faith is, and in the New International Version, it has confidence in what we hope for. I mean confidence. We put our trust and confidence in God. Assurance, knowing that it will come to pass. Assurance about what we do not see. Though we've never seen God, we know He is. Why? We believe it. Believe it on what? On the basis of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. And boy, that statement that I just read a few moments ago, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word. All God had to do was speak, and they came into existence, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It was simply by His Word. Tremendous faith. Look at the number of people. When I was studying, I thought, boy, how impressive this chapter really is. There's Abel, Genesis 4. Enoch, Genesis 5. Noah, Genesis 6. Abraham, Genesis 12. Sarah, Genesis 18. Isaac, Genesis 17. Jacob, Genesis 48. Joseph, Genesis 37. Moses, Exodus 1. Israel itself, Hebrews 11. Rahab, Joshua 2. Gideon, Judges 4. Barak, Judges 4. Samson, same chapter. Jephthah, same chapter. David, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse. And the prophets, 1 Samuel 25. All of these are mentioned in this wonderful list, what is sometimes called the heroes of faith. My friend, what did these heroes in Hebrews 11 look forward to receiving? Here's what it was: the promises of God, and that is specifically being able to dwell in that heavenly country and the city prepared by God. And I want you to know this morning, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to dwell. That's where I want you to be. That's where I want us all to be. And if Kay leaves us today, that's where we pray she'll be, with God, and be prepared to live in heaven and in a city prepared by God. But look what people had to do in order to be mentioned as being so faithful to God. In Hebrews 11, they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Can you imagine? People actually did these things. Why? Because they had faith. Because they now are mentioned and they're examples for us to follow. And then He quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, became valiant in battle, and women received their dead raised to life again, all by faith. But what did these people have to endure? And when I typed up that list and went over that list, when I looked at the Bible, when I considered what these great people that were listed did, look at it. Torture, mocked, scourged, chains of imprisonment, stone, and this one, sown in two. Wandering destitute in mountains and caves, afflicted, tormented. Why would people endure all of this? By faith, they were following Jehovah God. What did these people obtain? Here it is. God said, I'm going to have it written. He had it written. A good testimony. They were looking forward to the promise of the Messiah that they may be made perfect together with us to obtain salvation in the living and being able to live in heaven. And isn't that what we all want? But I'm asking you the question this morning in the very outset of this sermon, is that what you're going to get? When people can't even endure just a little bit of discomfort, they won't even be faithful to the Lord. How do they expect to be able to live in heaven when all of these people have done so much to prove their faith in God? We learn from God's Word in James chapter 2, 14 through 16. True faith leads you to action. You don't just say, I'm a Christian, you prove it. Faith without works is dead, James said. No wonder God put these people in His book of remembrance, because they were people who really followed God. Look at what Paul said about himself. He says, be ye followers of me. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. In Philippians 3, 17, be followers together of me. In Hebrews 13, and verse 7, whose faith follow. In other words, look at people that are doing God's will and follow them in doing God's will. Specifically, Paul said, that's what I'm trying to do, and I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. I ask you this morning, who is my role model as a Christian? Who is your example? I hope it's Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He's left you, He's left me. We have an example in Jesus Christ to follow in His steps. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Be ye followers of me, Paul said, as I follow Christ. And surely, when we look at Jesus, we know how to please one another, Romans 15. When we look at Jesus, we hear Paul say in Ephesians 5, love one another. When we look at Jesus, we find in Philippians 2 how to look out for one another and how to suffer patiently when we're mistreated, 1 Peter chapter 2. But whose example am I as a Christian? What kind of example do I set as a Christian? Not to consider. He says, I have not yet obtained perfection, Philippians 3. Go on unto perfection. Press on being mature. Live according to the level that you've learned. And then keep walking by the same rule of God. And make sure that you have a close relationship with the God of peace, Philippians 4 and verse 9. Whose example of men are you following today? Many Christians today are examples worthy of emulating. I mean, there are people that are so devout today, they're not going to miss services. They're going to be there. Even sometimes when they're hurting, when they're not feeling well, they're going to be there. Why? Because they know they're worshiping the God of heaven. Because what they're doing is dedicating their lives to the Lord. Whose example is it, not other Christians? Do other Christians look at us? Oh, sure. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord, especially those who are babes in Christ, even older Christians, look at what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. What did they do? They have examples. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Titus 2 and verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. And isn't our young children looking at this? When I go back there and these young children come and stand by Brother Legg and myself, And I always get a kick out of Brother Legg. He'll put his hand over me, he'll touch their head, make me pat them on the back. They just love him just like they love me and they love you. It's a wonderful thing to have children look up to you. It's a wonderful thing to have grandchildren. It's a wonderful thing to have great-grandchildren. Well, it's just a wonderful thing to have children, precious little babies. And then as they grow, but they're looking at us. What do they see? Boy, at O'Neill, they have people that love the Lord. And they can see that. They look up to their parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Jesus warns us in Matthew 18, verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. When the little children were brought to Jesus, they were trying to pull him away from him. He said, allow, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Can't you see the Master sitting there with those small children? Why? The example of all examples. You and I have that. As we as parents, as we children look up to us. Mildred Lambert wrote a poem some years ago. Our children are watching our examples each day of the things that we do and the words that we say. Their little souls are precious, and the job is in our hands to tell them about Jesus and teach them God's commands. Someday they'll face the judgment day, and oh, how sad it would be if they hear, I know ye not, and it was all because of me. Think about it. What do young children, young folks often see today? People who drink whiskey, beer, wine, etc. Turn on the television and the guy that is half drunk is glorified. And our children see that. And some children see their parents engaging in it. Hear people talk trash. Dirty, filthy. No wonder the small children come out and blurt out words in the presence of us who are older, and we wonder, why? Where did you hear that? It could have been they heard it from you. Heard it from me. Or heard it from somebody else. They're listening. People viewing filthy literature, films. What's our children seeing? And we're wondering, what will the next generation be? Who are they looking for? They're looking to us. Parents taking drugs in their very presence. It makes me sick. When I read about parents taking little children under the influence of drugs and practically beating them to death. Is that love? No. Do children have to suffer all of that? Some do. The display of sexual immorality, almost even buying a car. That's a sexy thing. You've got to have that word, so they say. Young children, you're fortunate to be at O'Neill, to see people that love the Lord, that you don't have to engage in that. Yes, think more of the world. Some do than they do of God. Now, if we have people that engage in those things, they need to repent. Ask God to forgive them. Start living right. How many of us need to make sure that we remember whether we want to be it or not, we are examples seen by the young in years and young in the faith. Example even upon unbelievers. Have others obeyed the gospel of Christ because of the example they saw in you? Or is it kind of like a congregation? I was talking to a man who was a member of another congregation. And I knew this one man in the congregation, so I mentioned his name. He kind of dropped his head. And he said to me, you mean You know him? I said, yes. He's a member of the church. He said he may wait on the Lord's table. He may be there. But I want to tell you, he can tell some of the, he said, filthiest jokes you would ever hear. Huh? Examples to unbelievers? What did they see in you? What do they see in us? Paul said, rather Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, that's how you do it, which they shall behold. Will they see you? Yes, they will. Glorify God in the day of visitation. What kind of an example are you? Is it indicative of a faithful Christian? Showing the world that you're followers of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Romans 15:1, there were those that were strong, told to bear the infirmities of the weak. Are you and I helping or hindering the discipleship of others? Is your example conducive to church growth? Is your church attendance a noble pattern of faithful church attendance? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much today as you see the day approaching. You set a good example of developing one's abilities for Christ. Are you really using your abilities in the service of the Lord? In 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Are you doing that? Do you get involved and set in the model of involvement and service to the Lord in His church? If you can preach, will you preach? If you teach, will you teach? If you can help somebody who is in need, help them. The Bible tells us in Acts 8 and verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Is your example helping or hindering the progress of the church? If every member of the church was just like you, what kind of church would this be? Would you want a child, a new Christian, to follow your example? If every member of O'Neill provided the same example as you, would the church be real strong? Would it be growing? Would we even have service on Sunday night and Wednesday? Would you even say, I heard a fellow saying not long ago, we don't have very many on Sunday nights, so we're thinking about canceling Sunday night service. Why don't we have a lot on Sunday night? On Wednesday night? Where are you? Where am I? Would the church even exist? It is all left up to you. Friends, we cannot escape being an example to others. And I hope you'll remember in conclusion, your only choice is what kind of example you will be. Will you be one of the many examples worth following? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have a dear sister at Huntsville Hospital right this very minute. And from what we have been told, her life will soon be over. That's true. She won't be coming in that wheelchair again. She won't be here. Soon, some of us will meet that same appointment. And I say that to say this to you. Don't lose that wonderful reward that God has promised to those who love Him and do His will. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When you have men serving as elders that love you with their families, when you have preachers and teachers who care for you, deacons, Surely we ought to be thankful. But what about me? What about you? What kind of example are we before God? If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus this morning, never having been baptized, here is water. What does hinder you to be baptized? He's ready to accept you. And we're ready to assist you. And if you're a Christian, you are not ready to meet the appointment of death. Why don't you get ready? Why don't you confess that you're wrong and make it right with God and with your brethren and serve the Lord? For heaven will surely be worth it all. Are you prepared today to meet the Lord? If not, now's the time to get ready. Won't you obey while together we stand and while we sing?